Amen. It's good to see you all, and particularly Haddon, so we didn't get a chance earlier to say welcome, and it's a joy to see you worshiping with us tonight. As I turn to God's Word, we are in chapter 4 of 2 Samuel. I find my voice a little bit very weak, but I trust that this will help. Chapter 4 of 2 Samuel, and it was very difficult for me to find a title for what I want to share tonight, but I felt there were a few lessons in this text that I call lessons from 2 Samuel chapter 4. And then you see there, God is ruler of all. Last week, if you were here, you must have heard Michael Jensen saying, David and the people of God, they found themselves in a mess, isn't it? So that was what he shared, because there was a lot of things that were not very straight. There was killing, there was rebellion, so David lying, and so we couldn't follow a line. But all in all, I could say that the first Samuel and the second Samuel, what are they all about? I said it was not about Samuel, it was not about David, it was not about Saul. It was about God who was with his own people. God who has determined to see to it that all his promises that he has made, they come to be fulfilled. And so in the redemptive history, we see God being close to his people. Even as bad as they are, God was still fulfilling his purposes. And that is why we can say God is ruler of all. And in this text, we have seen this text comes after the death of Saul and the death of Jonathan, and the household of Saul was like in disarray. And people who were left behind, they were like trying to make for themselves a living, isn't it? We see Abner, son of Ner, like having one of Saul's wives. And then his son, Ish-bosheth, was like really saying to him, "What are you doing?" And here again, this man was becoming angry. And then he said, "Okay, look, I'm the person who is keeping the kingdom of Israel, the tribes that are not part of Judah, where David is in Hebron. But so this man, okay, well, if you want to expose me, well, I will take all the people of Israel and give them over to David, only to be killed by Joab, because he had killed their brother. So it's a mess, isn't it? It's a mess. But what I see in this text, that if you can remember how it was read, but I can repeat it, and then I give you the points that I have out from this. So when Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, heard that Abner had died in Hebron, because he went over to David and then he was killed. So when the news came back to Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, who was trying to establish himself to be the king, the Bible says that he lost courage. And all Israel became alarmed. So what is the first point here? Well, I want to say, and this is true for all of us, God's people have removed their eyes from God, from trusting their God. That is why you see this man, Ish-bosheth, when he heard that this man who was a warrior, he is gone, he lost courage. But actually the word says, when he heard this, the death of Abner, his hands dropped. He couldn't do anything. Now he finds himself that he cannot do anything. He cannot even lead these people, because he was depending to a greater degree on this man. And that is what happens always. Whenever we remove our eyes from God, we can lose heart. we can begin to have no trust in our God. We lose sight of the great promises that he has given us. I will not leave you, Lord, nor forsake you. Through Christ, Paul says, I can do all things. Well, you will feel like you cannot do anything, because now you are depending on your own strength. Of course, you cannot do anything. And Jesus said that. Ish-bosheth lost courage. And you know, we cannot follow God if we don't have the courage to follow him. Because the enemy, the flesh, and everything else will not allow us to follow God just like that. It takes courage. It takes courage to do that. To declare against the force of darkness that there is only one God. It takes courage to say to people the fact that to confess it. And also even courage will be multiplied as you say that. That was the strength of the people of God, even their disciples themselves. When they were determined to be bold and courageous and to press on and to take their ground and to speak to these people through God's grace and through his Spirit. So we see the fact that when we rely on other things more than God, we can lose heart. We can lose courage. And the whole Israel, they were alarmed that their future now is in jeopardy. Their future as a nation, as individuals. And that is why I call it the lesson, so that we don't do the same thing. Our God, whether for our lives or to do something for his glory, we are not to lose courage. Even if things that we think can be of a great help, when they are removed, it's still God rules. He has his own ways. He makes ways in oceans, in deserts. There's nothing that is too hard for God to do. When there is no single man with boot on to fight, he comes and fight. He can send his angelic host. And a call for us in a time like this is a time to fix our eyes on our God. It's a time where we are not even to waver, even for a single moment. If we want to do that, we are gone. And how many people today in our day who were on fire for God, who were of a great use, today are just like a book that has been put on a shelf. And don't think that it's only the people I'm talking about, even ourselves. We are so vulnerable as well. We are strong only if we fix our eyes on our God and on Jesus Christ our Lord. Who is this man? He was a sinner, Abner. Why would we want to put our trust in the flesh? You have heard that song, that stand up for Jesus, isn't it? The arm of flesh will fail you. You see? Even a small thing that we do sometimes, even like writing a paragraph can be a problem for those who write essays. But whenever you stop and pray even, the Lord can even draw closer to you and do that. Everything. Even when you want to make a relationship with a friend or the brother to work. So if you try to rely on other means, it will fail. But if you ask the Lord and you rely on him, he can build great relationship. Because there will be no self-interest in that. This will be guided by God. Well, I believe this is our first lessons. And this man, Ish-bosheth, who thought of himself to be the king, he didn't know that to be a king, you have to be called by God to be the king of his people. Even Saul himself, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, he was called by God, isn't it? He was called by God. And he was anointed by God. He was only confirmed by the people of Israel. I think that is what 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 15 says. It says, now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel. About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him leader over my people. It was for Saul's sin only, because he rejected his God. He was king raised by God. David also was raised by God. Ish-bosheth should not think that he can raise up himself to be the leader of God's people. What is the next lesson that we can learn? Well, the history went on to say, in Israel, there were other people also next to them who were living within the kingdom of Israel, the northern tribes who were not part of Judah. Now Saul's son had two men who were leaders of raiding bands. One was named Bana, and the other Rechab. They were sons of Ramon the Berothite from the tribe of Benjamin. Beroth is considered part of Benjamin because the people of Beroth fled to Gittim and have lived there as aliens to this day. Well, these two men, they were part of the Gibeonites who deceived Joshua. In Joshua chapter 9, they said they were coming from very far because they heard that the people of Israel, they are uprooting all the tribes in the land. And so they really pretended they were coming from very far, that they were not local. They were wearing worn out clothes, shoes and clothes and dry food. And so they were weak. They were looking weak and they were seeking refuge. And well, Joshua accepted them. And made an oath, and they became part of the people of Israel. Well, these people now, they are there. But what I want to say now is, even though they were there, but now they seem to us that they are enemies from within. Enemies from within. And it's very difficult, isn't it, to deal with an enemy in the midst. But what is the message that God can teach us tonight? Well, the people of Israel, they didn't think these people were going to behave in this way in the future. And I think it's true also for us. We will never be aware that someone who has been part of us can turn and harm us. But what is the encouragement for us here? Well, the Lord is the ruler. And he will judge the person. We are not to be alarmed by this and be suspicious about people that they may turn against us later on. Because we are not our own. We have a God who cares for us. And this is those who will be suspicious of others. They are relying on their own flesh. They are saying, oh, we need to be wise in our own self and we need to look after ourselves. Yes, we are to be wise, but we can never say this person is the right person to be with us and the other person is not. And after all, we are God's people. And whoever comes and seek refuge in God, God knows and he has a way to judge this person. If they are going to harm what he is doing, because it was not God's will that even though Ish-bosheth was not trusting God fully, but this and also others, but it is not right for others to come and try to harm them. They are part of God's people. And it's God who can cause their heart to repent. It's God who can lead into repentance. So these two men, what they did, we are told in verse 4 that Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan, his dad, this young man, came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled. But as she hurried to leave, he fell and became crippled. His name was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is a lame man. And now these two men, they came while he was sleeping, and they slaughtered him, and they cut his head, and they slipped away. And they were going to bribe David to accept them because they have done this great job, saying that these are your enemies and we have got them. Well, what is the thing that I'm going to say? Well, God, you cannot escape God's judgment. If you did something wrong, God sees that. And if you have been wrong, also God sees that, and he will take charge. And we see that these men were going to face a really severe judgment. David was going to put them to death. Not because David is righteous, but he is an instrument in God's hand. So when they went and they to Hebron, and they said to David, "Here is the head of Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, your enemy who tried to take your life. This day the Lord has avenged my lord the king against Saul and his offspring." After all, David never said that Saul was his enemy. And we should not say also, so and so is my enemy. We don't have enemy. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And now we see God's moving and judging these enemies from within. Is not God the same? He will also judge those whom the enemy would want to use to harm us. So we shall have no fear. God is ruler. He's never changed. He's the same. And that is why we are called to have courage in trusting him, that he will bring us through. Even though the world is in the mess and we see problems and troubles, yet God, we are called to trust God. And this judgment is not an Old Testament phenomenon. It is also in the New Testament. And we have read that in Romans 13. The rulers, whether they are bad or good, they are God's servants. And also, when they judge, they don't judge because they are good. They judge because they are in the position of authority, isn't it? That is the thing. They do that. So we are told that the authorities that exist have been established by God. And he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And that we see that in David's life, he didn't want to rebel from Saul. Saul was rebelling from God and from the ultimate authority. And now Paul says, those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Because David was not to sit and not exercise his authority to avenge for the killing of those people that he didn't call to be his enemies. But these men, two men, they thought that they were doing great service to Saul. But Saul said no. Well, how can I urge us tonight? What can we do right now? So what I want to share briefly with us is, as we want to fix our eyes on God, so let us seek to pray and to read his word and to pray earnestly that we are strong in our hearts to trust God. We are to really trust. We are to stir up ourselves. We are to decide and to be aware that we have no any other way. Even when a thought comes that we think that we can lean on this person or these plans, let us just remove these thoughts and let us go on trusting God. I know this is the biggest problem for the world today and for the church particularly. We are trying to rely on different methods, approaches, and it's just like really making trouble for us. We are here today because there hasn't been an enemy who was able to wipe us out, isn't it? Because God is looking after us. And even where there are a lot of wars and troubles, true believers are crying out to God because they know that it's only God who can save them. So let us trust God and let us not fear any enemy from within. We have seen that in Matthew 13, isn't it? The parable of the weeds. Huh? So Jesus said that, the parable of the weeds. Jesus told this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" There will always be weeds. And let us not be alarmed. Let us not be moved from our position of security and trust in God. So these are the three lessons that I thought to bring to us. God is faithful, is the ruler, and let us not remove our eyes from him, even if there is mess. Secondly, there will always be enemies that the enemy is using. People the enemy may use to upset us and to do things against our blessings. Well, they cannot do that because our God blesses if we trust him. And thirdly, even if things seem to be happening, bad things happening to us, God will still punish those who would want to cause us trouble. Those who would want to take even our lives and would want to harm us in different ways. You have never come, have you heard of someone being just fired from his job for no good reason? So that is serious. So that is an action that is, God sees as well. If you have been dismissed from your job for no bad things you did. So God will punish that. Because this person seeks to harm you in your income, in your livelihood. It's the same. So these lessons I thought tonight to bring to us, and let us trust our God. These days are hard days, are troublesome, are troubled days, and days that may cause us to be lost in what is happening. But God is just calling us out, saying that you are my people. And we will see that. God will intervene as we go through the second Samuel. We will see he will be coming through. And he will look after his own people. And he will give us more prophecies. God is ruler of all. Let us pray.